Hey, God bless you guys. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. You guys ready to hear a word this morning? Good, I hope so. Hey, grab your Bibles and head on over to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 9. I can actually hear our R&B playing down here on our monitors, Jer Bear. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 9. And I'm going to title the message, Work It Out. Let's start in prayer and then we're going to get into the Word. Father, we love you. We thank you that, oh God, that you've healed our bodies. We thank you that you've given us strength to get into the house to hear a word from you today, to fellowship with one another, God. I just thank you, Father. There's so many people out sick, and we want to pray for them right now, that you touch and heal their bodies, God. Give them strength to fight all this junk that's going around, Lord. We're praying for them out there, God. For everybody that couldn't make it into here today, we're praying for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, how many of you guys now have been affected by the flu in some way? Gosh, it's like going crazy out there. I'm praying that you don't get it because it is nuts. This I don't ever get sick, and this has just been something kind of like completely crazy. This whole new year started out totally different than we had planned. So Vicki and I, when we started out the new year, and I was talking to you guys about New Year's resolutions. Do you guys remember that? How many of you guys made resolutions this year? And I don't want to hear, I don't make resolutions because I never keep them. How many of you guys actually do it and still try? Anybody? You guys just give up. You just like forget it. There's still some of us, right? We're like, man, we're going to step out in faith. It doesn't ever work, but we're going to go for it. Vicki and I did that with the gym, and I'm pleased to say that we went from never going to the gym last year to we've gone like 10 minutes this year. So we're doing good. We're doing good. And I know it shows. So this Saturday, I think it was Saturday, we had gotten up and Vicki said, you know, I just really feel like going to the gym. We're going to go to the gym today. And I'm like, yeah. And she's pumped and I'm kind of pumped. And I said, just let me go check the mail and I'll be right back and we'll put the dogs up and we'll go to the gym. I kid you not, I went to the mailbox and I came back and you know what Vicki said? She goes, I lost my gumption to go to the gym. From the time I went to the mailbox to back, she goes, I lost my gumption. Now, I didn't know what was weirder, that she used the word gumption or she lost it so fast. Have you guys ever heard of gumption? Because I didn't know if it was a real word or if that's something that came out of the hillbilly convention. Gumption. So I started thinking about it. I was like, I'm going to look that word up, gumption. And sure enough, it is a real word, just in case she's throwing it around the house. Does anybody use the word gumption? You guys use the word gumption? God bless you. God bless you. I hadn't heard it since I was like 4 from my grandma. But she said it, and I started looking up the word. This is what it means. It means shrewd, spirited initiative. Initiative, like you're so excited to do something, you got gumption. And I started thinking about how when we're serving the Lord, how we can actually have gumption, and it's like we lose it. That initiative that we start out with, man, I'm going to serve the Lord. Now look, if you've been serving the Lord any time or you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you're going to know, and I bet you agree with me, that you go through these seasons where you're just like, man, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to read my Bible in a year. And then it goes to, I'm going to read my Bible once a year. Anybody? Like you start out with gumption and you lose that spiritual initiative to where you're going to start or do anything. And it's just, we get these highs and we get these lows. And Paul is actually talking about that in chapter 2 because it is dangerous getting in this place where we lose our initiative, our spiritual initiative, to keep riding this thing till the wheels fall off. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to get complacent. And this is something that you got to fight against and something that you're going to have to work out of you. Just like I got to work it out of me. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to take initiative. He wants us to get busy. And so when Paul starts in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, he's talking to a group of friends about their gumption because he can sense that it's leaving. It's dying out. And excuse me if I'm coughing. I don't want to make you guys mad. Am I making you mad if I cough? Just like give me peace and say, man, go ahead. Just go. It's okay. It's okay. Because I'm gonna be doing it here and there. But listen. So he's talking to them about getting how to fix that problem where we start plateauing and we just sort of go through the Christian motions. But he starts out in verse 9. Let's start there because he wants to get them excited. He wants to get them stoked up for the Lord. And he said, therefore God has highly exalted him. Who's that? Who? Jesus. Yeah, it's Jesus. And given him the name which is above every name, that every name of Jesus, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. He's talking about the demonic spirits that had rebelled against God. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I love that. I love that. I love that. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why I love that. Because you know what? God didn't leave Jesus in the grave. He glorified him. The reason what separates your belief from anything else is we've got a risen Savior. And that's just something people are going to have to square away with. Hey, where's Jesus go? I don't know. I do know. God raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in honor. And what Paul says is that every knee, every mouth is going to confess and every knee is going to bow to God. That means Barack Obama is going to be on his knees saying, God, you are holy. Donald J. Trump is going to be like, God, you are bigly, huge, huge. I've got the wall. He's going to be like, God, you are everything. Your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, the creepy guy at work, all of them, they're going to be on their knees confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. I love that about the Lord. He is strong like that. Jesus. Jesus. You know, you get some people and they say, oh, I don't bow down to nobody. Well, you better start practicing now. Because you're going to be doing it one way or another. Amen? Hey, I want to tell you guys something. You know the best way up is down. Getting it down on two knees. Did you know that? Check out what 1 Peter said. This is what our friend 1 Peter said in 5:6. He said, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, not some of them, not sometimes, but all the time and everything, confessing our cares to God because he what? He cares for you. He wants to hear it from you. He loves you. He died for you. And so what Peter is saying is the best way up is to get down. And I just wanted to tell you guys in a side note of passing, you know there's nothing wrong with getting down for Jesus. There's nothing wrong with you getting on your knees before you, right when you wake up and you get on beside by your bed and you get down on your knees and you say, God, thank you for giving me the health in my body to just get down on my knees. Or before you go to bed, to get down. Maybe at work or maybe at home and you're in the bathroom, people knock on the door, what are you doing in there? Shut up, leave me alone. Run the hot water. I'm doing stuff. Man, wherever you can take that opportunity to get down, he said, I'm going to lift you up. And you know why we do that? Because you got so much stuff competing in your day today from the moment you wake up to the moment you crash out that is pulling you in an opposite direction than the Lord, that is pulling you to the way of the world, that is trying to get you back into some junk that you've been fighting to get out of. And the one time you got to spend with the Lord, where it's just the Lord, I'm going to tell you something right now. There is no problem with you getting down, because he's going to lift you up. I want to encourage you, if you guys don't do it, maybe you might think it's weird. I remember I used to think it was weird. I don't know what it was, but I had never used to get on my knees. And then one day I thought, Lord, I want to just, this is me and you, God. And I'm in your presence, so I'm going to give it up to you like this. And I remember I thought it was kind of weird, and I felt somebody was watching me when I was all alone. Do you ever get like that? Like, is my creepy neighbor peeking through right now? Okay, I'm good. I can do this. But I'll tell you what. God will lift you up when you get down. And so Paul starts this out with with exciting them and getting them stoked about Jesus and saying, hey, listen, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so now he tells them the best way to humble himself is just to set their self aside and to be obedient. In verse 12, he says, therefore, my beloved, if you as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Do you guys ever have kids or people you know that will do what you say when they're in front of you, but when they're not around you, they're off doing something else? Paul said, listen, I'm thankful that you guys are listening in my presence, but much more in my absence. That's a word for some children in here today. Can I get an amen from a parent? But much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So Paul says, therefore, my beloved, and you guys want to remember, anytime you see therefore, you want to ask what? Let me hear it from the old-time Christians in here. Exactly. That was actually kind of creepy. But when someone says therefore, you want to ask what it's there for. And what Paul's doing is he's tying everything back to chapter 1, verse 27, when he says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. And so basically what Paul is telling his friends about this issue of humility and working out stuff, and we're talking about that gumption, that spiritual gumption, you know how we kind of plateau. He's like, listen, I want you guys to come together. I want you to lower it down a little bit. And I want you guys to come together and I want you to serve together. And because like we said before, our church is better together. We're stronger together. And we're more connected when we stay together. And we're serving together. We're serving each other. We're serving one another. And that's our motto here, that we're better together. We don't want to be that church that's got cliques in one side of the church and things over on this side of the church. We don't want any of that trash here. We want to be a church where we're better together. We're one and one body and in one spirit. And that's the benefit of having a small church. And I do, man. My brothers that have bigger, you know, my other brothers that got bigger churches, I pray for them because it's hard keeping a church together with so many different people and so many different walks of life and belief systems. It's very difficult. And Paul's like, listen, I want you guys to keep it together. I want you guys to have a humble spirit. He says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. And I just thank God that as a church here, this is what I love about you guys, is that we're a team. You know that? You're a team here. We're all a team. And the thing that I like about that is everybody that comes in here gets acknowledged because we love you, we care about you, and we have that fellowship with each other. We've got a motto here, listen, and just by the way, I want to ask you guys as a favor, as we grow and people come in, will you guys do me a favor? And everybody that you see that you don't know, will you reach out to them? Will you reach out to them and just say, hey, my name's so-and-so, how you doing? And just kind of connect with them. Because the one thing that really hurt me when I started going to church was that, man, I felt like I just kind of got through the cracks. Like everybody's doing their own thing and church is going on like how it goes on and all of this stuff. But will you guys do me a favor? When people come in, let's grab them. Let's love them. Let's introduce them to our church. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, let your conduct be that of a reflection of the gospel, which was what? What we know about Jesus. He was humble and he had a lowliness of mind. And so Paul says in all of that, in verse 12, he says, check this out, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now I remember when I first read that, I did like Scooby-Doo, ruh-roh, because I knew that if my salvation was dependent upon me working stuff out, it wasn't going to work out. How many of you guys would agree to that? Oh, we got some holy people in here today. Okay, let me just tell you something. Hey, you can't. You just cannot do it. I know you try, but we just can't do it without Christ. And when I read that, it put so much fear in me because I was like, man, I'm a hot mess, Lord. If I've got to work, if I've got to strive to be right with you and all the stuff I do on purpose, because believe it or not, sometimes we sin and we know we're sinning. And I was like, God, I just can't do it. And it would really bother me because he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But you know what? We shouldn't have a problem with that verse and what Paul's saying. Even though he is saying exactly what he's saying. What's he saying? He's saying, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But what he is not saying is work for your salvation. Did you guys see that? You're not working for it. You're working from it. Because, you know, we get these old-time folky that, oh, God, Lord, if I got to do it, then the scales are tipping the wrong way, and I'm never going to make it. And I don't know why I'm talking in the country accent. Maybe it's the country people that talk that are afraid that, about salvation. I don't know. But we're like, God, that scale's a tipping one way, and it's not going to work out. But here's the good news about it. Paul says you're not working for your salvation, you're working from your salvation, and he says, so work your salvation out, not for it, work it out. And when he says work it out, that word work, you guys like this stuff, you remember? When he uses that word work, it's classical Greek, and they would use that word when they were doing a math problem. And so when they would figure out this long problem, they use the word Paul's using here, work out your salvation. And I like that. I kind of think of it like this. I was thinking about when he says work out your own salvation, I was kind of thinking of it like this. This winter, I had somebody give me a Fitbit watch. Do you guys know what a Fitbit watch is? It's for you to get fit. And I don't know what they were trying to tell me. Like, hey, I got a watch for you. By the way, you're fat and you need to be in the gym. So I'm like, okay, so I get this watch, and this thing has so much to it. It was unbelievable. It tells you, you know, the time of day. Thank you, Jesus. But it's got a stopwatch. It's got like a heart monitor. Tells you, you know, how many steps you climbed in a day. Tells you the day you're going to die. All of this stuff. And so I was just so much to it. I couldn't kind of figure it out, so I didn't use it, but I wore it. And I remember Randall was asking me, he saw it, he knew, he's kind of up on those watches and stuff, and he goes, man, that's a really cool watch. He's like, do you use it? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I rebuked him. I'm like, yes, I use this. But the reality was, it wasn't even turned on. I had turned it on. He goes, I bet you're wearing it because it's cool, huh? And I was like, no. And then I was like, yeah, I'm wearing it because it's cool. And so, but the thing about this watch is it came with this manual. And there was so much in this watch that I could use it for, but I wasn't working it, so it wasn't working. And I guess what Paul's trying to tell us is that when it comes to our salvation, whatever God has worked in you, it's up to you to work it out. Because if you don't work, and this is an ugly word in Christian circles and churches, work, nobody works, all by grace, all by God. God does everything, I do nothing. But what Paul is saying is if you don't work, it doesn't work. It's not that you're going to hell. It's that you're going nowhere. You're saved, but what are you doing? And I want to ask you guys that today. What are you doing with your salvation? What are you doing with your walk with God? What changes are going on at home? What's happening in your life? Because here's the good news about it. Although we get saved, we got that manual, the Word of Life, God's Word. Like that watch had that manual. I didn't read that. Like, guys, you know what? When we see instructions, they're like suggestions, right? We're just like, whatever. But you can't be throwing away the Word of God like that and think it's going to work. And so we've got this lifetime of working out what God has worked in. So what we're doing is we're not working for justification. We're working through sanctification, working out what God's worked in. So Paul tells them, you got to work it out. And now Paul says we can actually step up our game. So what God does, and you guys know this as well as I do, once you get saved, God puts His Holy Spirit in you. And things change, don't they? And I mean things change, like you have different desires than you used to have, right? Different feelings. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying that physically anything has really changed in your life, although it should, but I'm talking about inside. Don't you have different desires? Conviction. It's only why you're here today. And so he says, listen, when it comes to working out, you got to work out what God's worked in. Paul says in verse 13, I love Paul. He's like a life coach, motivator, trying to get us excited. He says, for it is God. This is why he's saying you can step up your game like never before. Because he said, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good, to do for his good pleasure. In other words, he's like, you don't have any excuses. If God is working the will in you, and he's working in you, then it kind of removes any excuses of you working out of that. And so when he says it, he says that God will provide the will in us. And I like that because he's talking not about your intellect. He's not talking about what you think right here. He's talking about the way you feel right here. That God will move in you, not necessarily in your mind, your intellect, but the way that you feel. So when you come into Ark Bible Church and we come together and we start hearing the word and you're like, something about that's ringing right up in here in my gut. That's what he's talking about, that gut feeling. When we're worshiping the Lord and you don't even open your mouth, like that old hymn that says, then sings my soul, O my Savior God. How many of you guys know you don't even have to open your mouth and you've got some singing going on inside of you? When you're praying and you're connecting with the Lord and you get that feeling, that's what Paul's talking about, not our intellect. And he says it's both God who wills and works in you. He puts the desire in you. You know how this is how this works out, if some of you are kind of like, because sometimes it's hard to grasp things that we talk about, you know, spiritual things, theological things, doctrinal things. But what he's saying, it's like this. The desire is, you know why you guys go to work every day? Because you have a desire not to be broke and poor, right? Right? You got a desire not to be homeless and dependent upon people, right? I mean, that should be your desire. That's okay. That's a good desire. I don't want to have to depend on nobody, so I'm going to have to get my butt up every day, and I'm going to have to go to a job, because the alternative of it is I'm going to be out there on the street. So you have a desire, right? And the way that that desire manifests itself is in what? You going to work and you working. And that's exactly what Paul's saying. That desire leads to the working. And it gets rid of any excuses. Because there's some people that when we talk about change and growing and working out what God's worked in, have you ever met anybody that had that bad attitude? Like, it's just the way that I am. Well, that's a problem because we don't like the way that you are. Neither does God. It's just the way that I am. I can't help when I see a woman walk by and the top's a little low and the skirt's a little high. You know, I can't help it. It's just the way I am. I can't help being so impatient with everybody and the kids. And then I deal with work and I come home and I got to deal with this. It's just the way that I am. It's just the way that I am. I get angry. I blow my temper. I'm unforgiving. That's it. It's just how I am. Can't help it. Really? Hey, let me ask you guys something. Because I know nobody... Let's just say the next time you look at somebody with lust. You know, man, I just can't help it. If I charged you $100 every time, guess what? You're going to help it. If I throw you in jail, guess what? All of a sudden, you're going to notice something about you. that you're walking pretty holy. You're walking right. Every time you open up your mouth and you say the F word, man, I just can't help it. It's you, my French. And by the way, do French talk like that anyway? So we got all this, like, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. But you're like, you know what? You owe me $100. That's five times, $500. Guess what? We're going to be like, oh, man, I can't help it. Actually, and so it's not just how we are. God wants to put in good desires for us. So if you're walking around, you're just like, man, I got these feelings inside of me, like I'm just going to have sex with whoever because I'm married in my heart. I'm just trying to say, it don't work. I don't care how married you are in your heart. Man, it's just, I feel so right about this, and I just want to do dope tonight and watch porn. Man, there's desires. It must be, I got some desires. That's probably not the Lord. I just want to punch somebody in the mouth. That's not the Lord. But here's the thing. These desires, like why we're here today, and we're like, man, I want to hear a word. I want to be in fellowship. I want to worship God. I want to pray with some friends. You know, it's an hour, and then we're out of here. Those are the desires that Paul says, okay, now God has put that in you. Now it's time for you to start working that out of you. And so, as Paul goes on with this, and he tells them, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that doesn't really sound like a good way to work out your fear, your salvation, Paul. But what he's saying is right, with fear and trembling. And there's two ways that go with this, what he's talking about. One is honor and reverence and respect for God. Okay? So when we come in here, we honor God. This is His house. This place is special. This place is holy. And so we want to honor God. And we want to respect God. You remember the person that says, oh, this is just the way that I am. No. That's not going to go good with God. You better fix how you are. And here's why. Because we're not just going to a destination, we're going towards an image. Did you know that? God is conforming and transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. He is. So it's not all about just getting to heaven. Everybody wants to get to heaven. Everybody wants to get to heaven. But you know what? God's like, I want to change you while you're on your way. And so two ways we can look at it. What Paul knows, that somebody's going to be like, man, this is the way that I am, and they don't have any respect and honor for God. So he says, hey, you better have some reverence and have some awe with God because He's a magnificent God. But then also, the other part of it, too, of fear of self-trust. And that when you are in a certain situation, that you can sit here, anybody that could sit here and say, I will do the right thing. I will make the right choice. I'll make the right decision in a wrong place because I'm strong like that. He says, you better check yourself because you remember what he told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it was verse 10, when he said, if any man thinks he stands, take heed, lest he shall fall. That means you better have a fear and tremble with that idea. If you come in here today thinking, hey, I got this, I'm strong, I'm a cleric, I'm a worker, I do things my way, I get stuff done. And if I'm in this temptation, if I'm in this situation and I'm left alone and nobody's there, I can make the right choice. Paul's saying, man, you better hit the brakes on that really quick. And that should worry you. So instead he's saying, listen, we need to work that fear out, knowing that, listen, at any moment, at any time, any one of you in here, and I know you're all good Christians, but we have a tendency to do the wrong thing in the wrong situation. It's amazing how just the situation kind of turns a little bit, and we're so strong here on Sunday, and then something changes out there, and man, boom, it's so quick. So Paul's talking about that, and he's like, man, you guys got to work it out. You got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so, as he's getting ready to close this up, he says we need to be careful about this because we can swing hard one way or another. We can go to like total legalism and just total Epicureanism, where it's just, I can do anything that I want. So one thing about this is the one way we can swing that's not right is, man, I better not mess up. God needs me to figure me out. And I got to get it right, and it's solely dependent upon me. Because some people think like that. They've got no sense of what grace is in their life, and that breaks my heart. You know what breaks my heart is when I see people who have fallen, when I see people who try to do the best that they can, they love the Lord, they serve the Lord, they get smacked by the devil, they end up falling, and then they just feel like they're done. And the reason why is because they thought they were holding themselves together all along anyway. And so when you have that type of mentality and mindset, when you do mess up, you're like, man, that's it. I might as well just go totally off. Now, that may not be you, but it was me. Back in the day, when I messed up, I was like, that's it, man. I'm just going to go all the way if you're going to do it, right? And that was my mentality because I was swinging hard the one way. But then the other side of it is I can just do what I want with who I want, when I want, and it's all good because I'm saved. And Paul's saying, no, it's not that way. What he's saying is you're not working for your salvation, but you're not giving up on your sin either. It's both. So he's telling them how to keep this gumption going by working this out. He says to him, now Paul's writing to him now, he's been writing to them corporately, like to a group. But check out verse 12, he gets very personal. And now he's talking to you and he's talking to me individually. When he said, work out your own, like if you've got your Bible, that's what you want to highlight. Work out your own salvation, not your husband's. That got weird, didn't it? Hold on a second. Let me fix it. Work out your own salvation. Not your neighbor, not your kids, not your in-laws. Your salvation. You need to work that out. Because one of the things, there's a couple different ways that this works out when it comes to salvation. Sometimes, instead of working out our own salvation, we try to work somebody else's out. Because, see, I've got a friend, and all he does is lie. So what I got to do is, when we're in public, I got to call him out on every lie and make sure everybody knows it. Man, that's a lie. All you do is lie, lie, lie. Why? Because I got to tell him he doesn't ever stop lying, and I got to teach him to shut his mouth up and tell the truth. Because I got to do that for him. And we can get in those situations where we're just like, man, I'm going to, you know what, my wife didn't ever stop nagging, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pout around the house for a week. That'll show her. That's going to make her mad. Like, that doesn't work. Kids with their parents, living at home, not picking up their stuff. They're going to show us that they're their own person. And they can leave their stuff laying around the house while you pay all the bills and take care of the groceries. But let me tell you something. You're not going to teach them. You know, it's like we have this idea, I'm going to teach you something. And Paul's like, you better work out your own stuff. And then there's good motives too. Maybe there's been, you know, in some churches, there's some women that are like, man, I'm just going to drag my husband to church. Because once I drag him to church, then everybody's going to be okay. Or if I just get my kids more involved. Or if I can get my friend there. Jason would just get a hold of, if this, 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 and that. Let me tell you something. Working somebody else out will never work. God has to do that work in us. And you know what else is really sad about our own salvation? Is that we can't rent a relationship. Now, when it comes to God, write that down. I can't rent a relationship. God is not for rent, which means your relationship has to be your relationship. You know how we were talking about when we get together, and now we're praising the Lord, and we're giving praise to God, and everything's cool, and we're together. But what happens when we get away from each other and we get involved in the world and there's people around us and we're by ourselves? You know why people cave? It's because they don't have their own relationship with God. And as strong as you are in here, you need to be at least that out there. You guys remember Abraham and Lot? Abraham, man, he had all this faith with God, the father of our faith. And then you have Lot. And these two guys were hanging out. And as long as Lot was hanging out with Abe, everything was great. He was such a good influence, man. He encouraged Lot. He was a godly influence. But as soon as Lot said, you know what, I think I'm going to choose this over here. I'm on my way out. We all know what happened. And so listen, our relationship can't be on rent. We got to have our own relationship with God. So that's why Paul says to him as he's closing this out, he says, listen, you guys need to be working out your own relationship, not anybody else's. And so Paul's thinking somebody's hearing this at the Ark Bible Church 2,000 years later wondering how it all works out. And so he's going to help us. Thank you, Paul. Let's finish it out in verse 14. He says, do all to him. Oh, man, I don't even want to finish that one. He said, do some things. I got to read it right, church, because I'm held accountable to God. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world, holding fast the word of life. So that I may rejoice in the day of Jesus, that I had not run in vain or labored in vain. And so what he's telling them is, you guys need to be a breath of fresh air in a polluted and jacked up place. You, me. You know Charles Spurgeon, and I know some of you guys don't know this guy, but he's an old dead pastor. Awesome guy. And he said when he was reading that verse, he said, it's an amazing thing to see a boat that's out in the sea. It's beautiful. But the sea in the boat is a problem. And that's what he was talking about when he was talking about how we need to be separate from those around us. God's calling us to be different. And it was like Winston Churchill when World War II was happening. And I don't know if you guys ever remember this story, but when World War II was going on and Winston Churchill said, I want to do a complete blackout. Do you guys remember reading that story? Do a complete blackout because we don't want the Nazis seeing where we're at. And so it is law, everybody turn off everything. We don't want to see any light anywhere. And in fact, he told the people, and this is what I found amazing about it. He said, don't you even light a match. A match. And the reason why is because that single match could be seen 10 miles away in the midst of absolute darkness. And when I read that, I started thinking about what God was telling us as a church. The darker it gets, the greater we're going to shine. And so what we want to do, listen, we want to work out what God has worked in. And I want to ask you guys this morning, what is something? Now, you know, we all got things we got to work on, but you know what? I bet you there's something God has specifically, listen, I'm talking to somebody here right now, I believe it. I believe there's something specifically that God has been trying to deal with you on this week. And he's been working something in you where he's been giving you the will and he's been doing the work in you that he wants to work out of you. And for some people, maybe that's connection and fellowship. But are you been staying at home alone? God wants to work, have you work out what he's worked in. Has he been working that connection and fellowship in you? And you've been neglecting the house of the Lord? You're just like, you know what? I'm just going to stay at home. I'm going to pass on Sunday. God's speaking to you today. Listen, Come into the house of the Lord. Connect with God. Have fellowship with people who love you. I don't know, maybe it's an issue of patience for some of you. God's been working patiently in you. And you're getting frustrated and you're getting upset and things aren't moving like they should. Hey, God's saying this is your opportunity. Start working out what he's working. I don't know where you're at this morning. It's you, and you know. Whatever that thing is that God is putting in you, he says, hey, listen, let's do this together. Because you got to remember, God's put potential in you. You remember what he said in verse 6 when he was talking about that it's God who will complete the good work that he started in us. Which means there's something in you that's got to come out of you. And I want to encourage you this morning as we close out that whatever that is, or as we close out, we're going to take communion and worship. I want you to focus on what that is. And make a commitment to God. Say, God, you know what? I can't do this on my own self. That's the fear and trembling part, but you can. And God, I'm going to have a relationship with you. I'm not going to rent a relationship. I'm going to go deeper in ours. And plug in with God. And you'll see the darker it is out there, the greater you're going to shine. Amen. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to close in prayer and communion this morning. And listen, as we're getting ready to head out of here, we want to remember how Christ worked out that love for us. Did you guys remember how it happened? John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. He talked about working something out. And he did that on our behalf, and he came and he died a sinner's death on the cross. And so as we come this morning, if you haven't given your life to Christ, if you haven't made a run for the cross, listen, this is your chance to come in here just as you are and to give your life to the Lord who loves you, died for you, and has plans for you. But we're going to have to accept it and step out on it. And so, Father, we come to you this morning, and I pray for anybody in here today who walked in these doors without the joy of the Lord in their heart. God, without hope, without expectation, Jesus. God, that have been living in isolation or alone. That now, even now, God, that you quicken in their heart by your Holy Spirit and love for them. Lord, we turn to you and we say, we ask that we need forgiveness, Jesus. We do have a fear and trembling that we cannot do anything in and of ourselves, Lord. If we're in a position to choose right, Lord, chances are we're going to choose wrong. So we need you, Jesus. We need your power. And we ask that you forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. And as we come and we take communion, we remember your great offering, the love that you had in you, that you worked out of you on the cross. We thank you for it, Jesus. In your holy name, amen.